I just wanted to say thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, all right. Just a little bit. When I heard Jody's and Corrine's the video when I watched
our webinar.
Sorry.
Yeah, our webinar.
And I was like, man, I mean, they're hitting everything on the spot. Like, come on. So you got to learn from them. So.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you were there. And actually, thank you for bringing that up, because I'll just announce at the start of our call, I have a – so Miracle Share, which is the nonprofit that I co-founded with a couple of friends, we are now, in addition to just our virtual conference that we do in October, we're now doing Miracle Share Academy classes. And these classes are free. They're by donation. The next one coming up is starting June – I think it's Tuesday, June 6th, and it's on undoing anxiety. And it's going to be me and Jody Amon will be running the first two sessions, and then me and Amy Torres will be doing the second two sessions. So it's all of the four Tuesdays in June. You can learn more about that if you go to MiracleShareInternational.org.
Corrine, I think it's June 7th. That's what it says on my email.
Oh, thank you. June 7th, yeah. Okay, June 7th, that's the first Tuesday. Thank you, Deidre.
MiracleShare.com?
MiracleShareInternational.org.
.org, okay.
Yeah, you'll find a link to the Academy classes there. And awesome. Anybody and everybody is welcome to join us. I think we already have about 75 or so people signed up, so...
Cool.
All right, so we're going to start doing some reading. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 415. The subheading is Practical Forgiveness. If you have the Course in Miracles Society Original Edition, it's Chapter 17, Part 7, also called Practical Forgiveness. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it's Chapter 17, Part 6. It's called Setting the Goal. So here we go. The practical application of the Holy Spirit's purpose is extremely simple, but it is unequivocal. In fact, in order to be simple, it must be unequivocal. The simple is merely what is easily understood, and for this, it is apparent that it must be clear. The setting of the Holy Spirit's goal is general. Now he will work with you to make it specific. There are certain very specific guidelines he provides for any situation, but remember that you do not yet realize their universal application. Therefore, it is essential at this point to use them in each situation separately until you can more safely look beyond each situation in an understanding far broader than you now possess. So this first paragraph is speaking to, again, the practical application of the Holy Spirit's purpose, which is to look past what's false and uphold only what is true. It's simple and it's obvious, and yet because we've chosen to listen to ego, it seems to be obscure and it seems to be not obvious. That's not because the Holy Spirit is obscure. It's because, again, it's our choice to listen to ego that obscures the simplicity of truth, the simplicity of love. It says that the setting of the Holy Spirit's goal is general, meaning, again, it's that goal. The Holy Spirit's goal is to only uphold what is true. But Holy Spirit will meet us where we're at. So if we need specific guidance, if we need something specific, Spirit meets us where we're at. And so it says there are certain very specific guidelines he provides for any situation, but remember that you do not yet realize their universal application. So when it goes on to say, therefore, it is essential at this point to use them in each situation separately. What that comes up for me is just the importance of always asking Holy Spirit, meaning, so last Tuesday, Holy Spirit told me this, so I'm going to do that now. What is that doing? But then you're deciding that, like, you need to apply what you learned back then to this situation rather than asking right now, rather than always turning back to Holy Spirit in every situation to ask, you know, show me, let me see with your eyes, whatever it is that you want to say. So that is just a reminder to me that we're being asked to turn to Holy Spirit in every situation, and that Holy Spirit meets us where we're at. And if we need guidance that's specific, we'll get it, although we're being moved beyond the specific. We're being moved to the universality, like it says, that's an understanding far broader than we now possess. We're coming to learn that there's only one problem. We don't have a multitude of specific problems that need to be solved. We have one problem, and that's our belief that we're separate from God. That's our belief that we're bodies. That's our belief, you know, that there can be death, that there can be sickness. We have one mistake, and that's thinking that we're separate from truth, from love. So that's what came up for me in that paragraph. Does anybody have any questions or specific examples that relate to what we just read? Let's keep reading. This is good stuff. This is a great little section here. In any situation in which you are uncertain, the first thing to consider very simply is, what do I want to come of this? What is it for? The clarification of the goal belongs at the beginning, for it is this which will determine the outcome. In the ego's procedure, this is reversed. The situation becomes the determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. The reason for this disorganized approach is evident. The ego does not know what it wants to come of it. It is aware of what it does not want, but only that. It has no positive goal at all. I do just want to remind us, it looks, I'm stepping out of this content for a moment just to say that I'm reading from the Sparkle edition. So if you are reading from the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, you might notice paragraph breaks that are in different spots or some editing that's a little bit different. But I just wanted to remind us of that. Going back to this paragraph, we're establishing a positive goal by turning to Holy Spirit, because what do we want to come of this? So in any situation, there's only really ever two choices. It's either follow down the ego path, which is a path that goal is further separation, or it's repurposing whatever it is that is happening to give it to Holy Spirit to be used on behalf of our awakening. So that's what this is speaking to. What do I want to come of this? What is it for? Rather than thinking like, oh, you know, it's not the specific like, well, what do I want of this situation? Well, I want that nice car or that nice house. You know, that's not what this is talking about. This is the goal. Do we want this situation to be used by Holy Spirit to help us awaken and help teach us that we are eternal? Or do we want to listen to the ego, which is just going to, again, provide lots of evidence that's going to try to convince us that we're separate? Yes.
I'm so glad you clarified that, because I was just sitting here thinking, because there's a few things in my life right now, you know, people and, you know, career and business directions that I've been just feeling stuck, like, oh gosh, you know, what do I do? What decision that I make? What decision do I make? And this passage, and specifically what you just shared about it, has reminded me that, you know, I cannot make a wrong decision. And coming from this, I can't make a wrong decision in terms of which path. However, I can, you said, what did you say, repurposing? Like, I can do that and be open to what the Holy Spirit wants me to get out of this and how it's going to help me to grow. So I'm glad you clarify that, because it resonates with me.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm not getting caught anymore in, like, is this ego or is this Holy Spirit? Or, like, should I do this, you know, and is that going to lead to ego, or should I do that and maybe that'll lead to, you know, maybe that's what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I don't worry about that anymore. I just, like you said, like you highlighted that word repurpose, I'm just going to do what I feel inclined to do, and I'm going to give it to Holy Spirit. I'm going to not hang on to my own interpretation because I want everything. I'm at a point where I feel like I'm holding on to nothing. I want everything to be repurposed to help me wake up. So thank you, Alicia Ba, for sharing that because that's really, really helpful. Deidre, did I hear you?
Yeah, I was just going to share, if I could, there's that prayer about healing in the Course that talks about, I'm here only to be truly helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to know what to say or what to do because he who sent me will direct me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times when I was going through, like, all the craziness of, like, what should I do? What place should I go? What school should I apply to? What should I look at? Am I going in the right direction? You know, all the crazy stuff that the mind likes to try to walk down. What would really help me repurpose everything is just that thought, I am here to be truly helpful. And that's it. And so when I would be able to stop and remember that, it was like the repurposing was being done for me by my higher self, by spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to try to figure out the direction at all. It was just to remember that whatever I'm doing anything for is to be truly helpful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Corinne, you know what really struck me was what you said when you said, I'm here to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. That's, I can't think of any other goals anymore that I want, honestly. I know that there's part of my mind that definitely still values, you know, things that are blocks. But my willingness is through the roof, and I know at this point that that's only the only thing that makes me happy. So
that's just beautiful.
Yeah, and I thank you all for joining me in that because it we help one another. Like we, as we've shared before, we strengthen these ideas in our own minds as we share them, and so whether or not you've explicitly, and I'm saying this broadly, you know, said that you want that too. That's what we all want. there's that the Course has a sentence that says that, you know, our true self, Holy Spirit, is trembling with readiness to give us these gifts of this awareness of what we are is right there, and it's trembling with readiness for us to be ready to wake up to them. And there's part of our own mind that's sort of dilly-dallying with experimenting with seeing if these other things can make us happy instead. And so I know, you know, that we all still fluctuate, myself included, but I'm starting to listen, as we all are.
Hello. Can you
hello.
Hear me?
Hi, Igor.
It's Igor, yeah. Hello, Corinne. Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
I would like to talk about the paragraph.
Please.
In the middle it says, second paragraph in the middle, in the ego's procedure, this is reversed, the situation becomes the determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. And this is very logical from the ego's point of view because the ego's desire is to make us feel a victim, right? How can I be a victim of any event if I control it, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. I have to be not in control of this situation. I have not to be the source of this situation in order to be a victim of it, right? This is very, very logical from the ego's point of view. And Jesus talks about it in many places later in the text. Most powerful maybe is in the chapter 27, where and section 8, the hero of the dream, the hero of the dream, where it says that this whole dream, all it tries to do is to teach you that this dream is the cause and not effect.
Right.
And you are this dream's effect and cannot be its cause. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's how you can be a victim. And talking anxiety, this topic appeared today. Really, how can you be anxious about something if you if you are the author of everything that is happening to you, right? No, you have to be a victim. To have to feel yourself a victim. You have to not be responsible for anything that is happening in order to get anxious or scared about it, right? And also, I would you mentioned different versions, Corinne. I would like to remind us too that all of the different versions, like Sparkly and Original and Vortex, or what are they? They are only draft versions. They are unfinished versions. And the section in those draft versions is called Practical Forgiveness, even though this whole section does not even mentioning the word forgiveness at all. It's not talking about forgiveness, but in the fifth edition, third edition, the section is called Setting the Goal. Setting the Goal, which is exactly what this section is talking about. And which is the goal? Do you want to be anxious and scared about something? What do you want the outcome of any situation? Fear, anxious, anxiety, or peace and joy? So this has to be, you have to keep in mind what do you want? Do you want to be happy, or do you want to be scared and suffering? Okay, thank you.
Beautiful. Cor- thank Corinne, you.
I just want to say one quick thing, that the the illusory ego's deeds are to keep us asleep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Meg. Igor, I'm so glad that you... Yes?
This is LaTanya.
Hi, LaTanya.
Hi. As you were reading paragraph 2, what came to me was that, and please do correct me if I'm not seeing this correctly, because I'm rather new at the course. But what came to me is that it seems like that we should always be mindful of the Holy Spirit in every situation, because like in that sentence, where it says the situation becomes the determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. Well, what came to my mind was that there is not going to always be a one-size-fit-all perception. So that whenever a situation comes up, that we make sure that we put the Holy Spirit first before we make a decision or determine an outcome. Because we can get so, there was something that you said a little bit ago about there isn't a part of our perception that the ego has not touched. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you said. Mm-hmm. And I think if we allow ourselves to become too comfortable and think that we have the answer because of something that may have happened before, and we might think there is a one-size-fit-all for everything, and there isn't.
Right.
I think this is saying that the Holy Spirit should always, we should always check in with the Holy Spirit. We should always tune in to the Holy Spirit and see what the Holy Spirit would have us to do in every single situation, because it may be different every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm totally on the same page. I'm totally on the same page. I definitely agree. Absolutely. Did I hear somebody else?
No? LaTanya, I wanted to say something came up to my mind. What you were just, like it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. So something that I'm currently experiencing is it's like, so I recently, me and my boyfriend recently broke up, and I made a decision, you know, but I still wanted him to be in contact because, you know, we were really good friends. But anyway, he's very resistant for, and I find
Alicia,
myself, yeah.
I'm sorry. Please continue in a moment. But are you on speakerphone by any chance? You sound a little distant, and it's a little hard to hear you. I just want to make
sure. Oh, no, I'm not. Is that better?
That's so much
better.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I have a Bluetooth, and I didn't realize my speakers were someplace.
Gotcha.
Split behind
thank
me.
You. Please continue.
So there's a part of me that says, well, no, you know, I'm the woman. And he should reach out to me because that's how it goes, right? But mm-hmm. I really, really, really miss him. And so I reached out to him. He still was, you know, resistant. But I bring it just, you know, when you said that, it made me think about how we have even, you know, we have all these gender roles and all these type of expectations in society. And that's what came to my mind, how, you know, In this particular situation, neither of us did anything that was horrible or dishonest or anything like that to each other. But it's a very unique, for me, a very unique situation and a unique breakup. And to be honest, I don't have any clear answers for how to deal with it because it doesn't look like anything that I've ever experienced. So I'm glad that you spoke to that point in the second paragraph because, again, I'm having, you know, I'm reminded, hey, you know what, to take it to the Holy Spirit and not every – it's going to be different for each situation. So thank you for bringing that out.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just add to that sentence that Igor highlighted for us, the situation becomes the determiner of the outcome, which can be anything. If you think about it, and then Igor, you went on to read the section about cause and effect, it makes so much sense because if the situation is the determiner of the outcome, what we're saying is that, oh, you know, I want the picture out there to be okay because then I'll be okay. Depending on how things go out there, you know, that's going to dictate whether or not I'm a victim or whether or not, you know, I am okay or I'm not okay. And the Course is bringing us to use, to learn a different type of vision that is independent, that's totally, you know, independent of external circumstances, that we're being asked to learn, just like the Holy Spirit is able to see right past what's false to the truth beyond. Holy Spirit does that for us as we turn to Holy Spirit. And that's what the Course says by the use of, what does it say, proper denial, denying our denial of truth. We, in a sense, are learning how to see the truth, how to remember the truth that it is that we threw away. So I like that. I'm grateful for that sentence, Igor, for you having highlighted that, so thank you. This is about finding the peace regardless of external circumstances.
Hi, Karen, this is Deidre again.
Hi, Deidre.
You commented before about, I can't remember the exact wording that you used, so forgive me if I don't get it exactly right, but you mentioned something about blocks. And knowing that there's still some there that come up occasionally. And I think we all kind of have that sense that recently what's really been coming to my awareness anyway is that there actually aren't any blocks at all.
Mm-hmm. In truth, absolutely.
There are divine, everything is perfectly divinely orchestrated for the awakening. So even something like anxiety, which we've been talking about on the phone, is really like a brilliant indicator of how tuned in we are to the truth. If we are willing to look at it with spirit, with the truth.
Absolutely.
So I hope that's okay that I shared that, but I felt
of course. Yeah. No, it's important that we remember, because again, we're using words that are in duality to try to describe something that's non-dual. You know, like we're using the limited, our own filters and words that you have to say multiple things to be able to paint the whole picture, meaning that we're talking about blocks, but there are no blocks. So it always goes back to that, and so it's a really important reminder, and I very much appreciate that you brought that up, because it would be a mistake to think that, oh my gosh, there's so much work I have to do. I'm so far away from the truth because I have so many problems. You know, that's a mistake. It's about, again, learning how to just, in a way, just drop that, like just open, just own the truth right now. That there are no blocks.
Even situations that seem to be in the world of form that come up, and we think, you know, whether it's a breakup or, you know, a job or something, and it doesn't go the way that in the mind you might have thought it would go, because you've made like a prejudgment on what you think is going on. I've really started to see like the blessing in the fact that there's something so much greater than my higher self, God, spirit, whatever you want to use, whatever words you want to use, what kind of thing we're using words in duality. So, but whatever word you want to use, there's something so much greater that has orchestrated everything perfectly for the purpose of us waking up.
Mm-hmm. Which we're already awake.
It's done. It's done.
Beautiful.
The more I reflect on the appearance of situations with spirit, the more I'm coming to the realization and the understanding that it's already done. Like, there's nothing to do.
Right. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Right?
Allow
Thank
me
goodness.
To wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. I'll just add to you that when I was saying before about the blocks, what I mean by that is really just the part of my own mind that still values being a separate self. So it's not like there's a real block there. Like it's my choice to turn away from the Holy Spirit. It's my choice to, again, want to just dabble in this game of separation. So,
and that is the illusory ego. The illusory ego's deeds are to keep us asleep.
Awesome. I love that. It is an illusory ego. That's perfect.
As long as we keep in our awareness, too, that we're not guilty for that.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Colleen, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Alicia went first, and then I think, was that Jag?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes. Let's go. Alicia went first, then Jag.
Okay, so something that I, with all that we read about the ego, what's been coming up in me is that the ego feels like an enemy, and I find myself being mad at it, you know, and I'm just curious about that. What are your thoughts on that, and how to re-look at that? So I'm pissed.
I love your honesty. I love it. I bunch of different thoughts that come to mind. First, the one that I'll just start with, I guess, is that feeling of being pissed, that feeling of being mad. Is it the ego, or is it being pissed at God for not giving us that specialness that we wanted? Just something to, not something you have to answer or question, just something to ponder, because the Course is saying that, you know, that there is part of us that's angry, that wants this to work out, and we're pissed that it can't. That anger toward the ego is just feeding the ego, right? Because if the ego is just an idea, if the ego is just a crazy idea that we took seriously, if we're getting mad at an idea, who's the one holding on to the idea? You know, like it's us hanging on to that idea. So I guess I would say, and you could look at this with Holy Spirit, like you know, I'm willing to look at this anger with you, and the ego is just an idea, so it can't be an enemy. It's something that we've pumped belief in. Like I shared previously, and I wrote a blog post about this, those balloon man that is being, it's that long, you know, balloon thingy that is being, it sort of like jerks and like flops back and forth in the air. You usually see them at like car dealerships, and they're being pumped with air from a fan. We control that fan and where we pump our belief. And so if we're holding the fan into that balloon, pumping it up, and that balloon represents the ego, it's really nothing. It's just this, like, you know, in this case of this balloon, this hollow nylon shell. We're pissed at something that we're pumping belief into. And so that anger, the Course says, when we withdraw, I think it's judgment or anger from without, there's a strong tendency to harbor it within. So if we touch any of that anger toward our capital S self, or even the small s self, again, that's something to look at with Holy Spirit, because there's no guilt in feeling angry. So I think getting in touch with that anger is a good thing if we're looking at it, if we're willing to look at it with Holy Spirit. So does any of that help at all?
It does. It really does. And I'll just say this one last thing. As you were speaking, something just came to mind that I'm invested in my worthiness being connected to how enlightened I am. And so if I am not enlightened to the degree that I think that I should be, then I'm getting angry. So that's something that literally just came up for me.
Awesome. That's so awesome. You know what that is, Alicia Ba? And that's something, I'm so glad that you're saying that, because, again, look how sneaky the ego is, how it says, we said before, there's no area of your perception that it hasn't touched. That's the ego wanting to now use the spiritual journey on its purposes, what I've referred to before and others have referred to as the spiritual ego. So the ego is going to say, oh, you know, I like that identity. I can be a spiritual, you know, teacher or spiritual whatever. So it's just, it's deciding that it's going to try to use this now on its behalf. And so that's, the spiritual ego is a, you know, a sneaky, sneaky thing. And if we're able to see that, again, I love your honesty. It's just about owning it and looking at that also with Holy Spirit, because there's no guilt there.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Jag, you're up.
All right. I just want to ask, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, the Holy Spirit is, you know, kind of waiting on us, trembling. How do we get to that point that we accept that, like, hey, you know, that's your, you know, higher self, and you need to listen? I mean, because in my case, you know, I'm trying very hard to, you know, to let go of, you know, especially the symptoms that I feel with anxiety. And, you know, I'll feel a little bit better, you know, for, let's say, an hour or so, and then out of nowhere, I'll have this, you know, shooting pain in my chest or shooting pain in my stomach, and then I go back to that, you know, connecting the symptom to a disease. So how do we get to that point? Like, there's nothing wrong. I mean, just let it go.
Yeah. Oh, what a great question. Again, I appreciate your honesty. This is a pattern that I know so well, because I lived in that for years, sickness fears, bodily fears, health fears were my absolute biggest trigger, where the tiniest little symptom, I'd hop on Google. Oh, my God. You know, Google is a good it'll show you what it is you're looking for. So if you want to find out, you know, something horrible, like you'll definitely
find it. Yeah, it's like on very top list.
Yeah. I had to stop. I actually had to stop myself from doing that because it was really hard for me. So the question being, how do you get to the point of accepting, just letting it go? I can only speak from my own experience, and again, I welcome anybody else who wants to share, but the Course says you don't have to believe a thing that it says. Try out these principles, and the results speak for themselves. So in my life, in whatever situation it would be, even if I was freaking out because, you know, I thought something was wrong, I'd still be talking to the Holy Spirit. I'd still be talking, and again, whatever word it is, inner teacher, inner guide, whatever it is that you prefer to call it. In my journey, I was so sort of done with, I was so willing to make a different choice that I, and I've talked about this before, started working with this idea of the Course's teaching of cause and effect, that if this is coming up, it's coming from a deep part of my mind that's throwing it out there in front of me for me to take the bait to try to keep me convinced that I'm separate. And my willingness to own that what's happening to me is coming from me, you know, like it's literally me trying to freak myself out, and being willing to look at that with Holy Spirit and not feel guilty over that, I started having experiences, as we all have, of the miracles, of the shifts in perception where in the middle, let me give you a concrete example, in the middle of me freaking out, I would turn to the book and I would sit there and read until I found something that I could sort of grab onto that spoke to me, that explained, you know, maybe what it was that was going on. It would motivate me to get to work. The anxiety for me was a great, you know, lighting a fire under me to make me really dive into this. So it was the experiences, the small miracles, the moments that I had some restored peace, even if it was a tiny little moment, those little moments were enough for me to say, you know what, I'm on the right path. This is working, because even if it's only 5 minutes of relief, I felt better then, and so I'm going to keep with this. And it was a gradual development of trust. There's a section in the Manual for Teachers on the development of trust, and it walks you through the stages. There's a period of undoing, a period of sorting out. I don't remember exactly where in the manual it is, but that was a section that was always helpful for me because it sort of gave me a framework for knowing that what I was dealing with right now in terms of anxiety was not going to last forever, that there's stages beyond where I'm at now. So I don't know if I'm giving you anything concrete, but it's accepting Holy Spirit and just letting, really, really dropping the worry, the anxiety, for me was gradual. It was gradual.
So now, Corinne.
I would like to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian first, then Igor.
Okay, just real quick. Thank you for sharing. And just one quick observation on housekeeping, that tonight we're very busy, but we missed the meditation, and I was only going to ask you at the end of the call. We're at the end of the call, which is right around the corner in 9 minutes. could you do the meditation as
yes.
we close?
Thank okay. you, Brian. Thank
okay.
you. Absolutely.
okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Igor, take it away.
Igor.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. What I wanted to say, it is Jag, right?
Jag, yes.
Yes, sir.
Jag, you said you were quite new, or Corinne said it, quite new to the Course. Have you started doing the workbook? Please tell me.
No, to be honest, not yet.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So I would like to recommend you a workbook lesson, trying to you know, to maybe to have something practical, to have something for practice in between study groups or in between anything, because what you are having actually is a quite common problem. Mm-hmm. Everyone has anxiety actually. Maybe your version is amplified, but actually everyone has it. Everyone is scared, mm-hmm. is afraid of future. Something is going to happen. Something dreadful is going to happen. And I'm not ready for it. I'm not prepared for it. I'm gonna suffer. Mm. And it is so common that Jesus, in the Course in Miracles, in the workbook, he gets to it right away, actually, almost right away. And since workbook lesson number 5, and as he usually does, he takes a different, you know, different turn, different viewpoint on all this. And he says, I am never upset for the reason I think. You see, so I am upset that I am aging and I have no retirement good plan. And so this is something terrible is going to happen, you see. Or something terrible is going to happen on my job related to my boss. Or, you know, or with the weather. Oh, this tornado is going to happen. And blah, 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 blah. See, so we think that we are upset from tornado, from lacking of retirement plan, from lack of money, from relationship with our bosses or anything. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. You are not upset for this reason. You are upset for another reason. And what this reason is, he talks in the workbook lesson number 79. And this is the lesson I recommend you taking a few days and doing this workbook lesson during the day. Read it in the morning, read it in the evening, and practice it, kind of remind yourself, trying at least to recall it during the day. This is a beautiful lesson, and it might help you.
Thank you, Igor, and thank you so much, Jag, for the question. And that's a beautiful recommendation to dive into the workbook, because that is really the foundation for the workbook was all I did initially. So beautiful. Thank you, Igor, and thank you, Jag.
Thank you.
We have only 5 minutes left, and I do want to leave a few minutes for our closing meditation today. So does anybody have any brief questions or brief things to share? Sounds like we're good. I'm just pausing to see if anything else is coming forward for me.
I have one thing
yes,
that I could
please,
share.
Adrian.
Something going through the workbook lessons as Igor recommended is a brilliant starting point. As someone who has gone through panic attacks and anxiety attacks and has really taken the course of my operating system, what has really helped me in my life has completely shifted in the last 4 or 5 years because of A Course in Miracles. But just the act of noticing, observing, and being the silent observer of when those obsessive thoughts start to occur is extremely powerful. Just the act of noticing them. That's
so,
it.
Like observing them when they arise?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so helpful.
And I would, that's super helpful. And, you know, for me, when the thoughts were really scary, and even when they're not scary, looking at them with Holy Spirit. So observing them with Holy Spirit in your mind, because to me that felt so much less scary, because if I was looking at them myself, it's like, whoa, I could easily get sucked down the rabbit hole of them. So that's a beautiful suggestion, DJ. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for adding that, Corinne, because of course I'm not spirit. But,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So let's come together for our closing meditation today. Oh, Brian, thank you. So I encourage you, if you're doing anything or moving, just to pause and sit and close your eyes if you'd like. Bringing attention within to the quiet, still space inside that we all share. Holy Spirit is quiet. Holy Spirit is not that super loud voice that we're accustomed to listening to. It's quiet. And rather than even trying to think about it as a voice, you can even think about it as a feeling, a deep feeling of resonance, of peace, of love that comes from within. So being willing to turn to this quiet center, even if we don't feel like we can touch this quiet center, all that matters is that we're willing to turn to it. Tapping into our sense of willingness and offering this willingness to Spirit within. Being willing to be taught, being willing to learn the love that we are, being willing to know again the incredible, joyful peace that comes from the truth of what we are. It's peace that's always there. It's our birthright. This holy instant, we give to you, Holy Spirit. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. This goes for every moment, not just on this call, but out in our classroom. We're putting the Holy Spirit in charge, knowing that by doing so, we're going to remember the love that we've never lost. Rather than thinking about something that happening in the future, we can know that love that we've never lost right now. It's available to us. With that love in your heart and light in your mind, taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out, knowing that we can call on Holy Spirit any and every moment in the day. So allowing the eyes to open and knowing that even though we are concluding this 1 hour together, we're still very much with each other throughout the week because we all are one. So join me in crazy willingness, really high willingness to let Holy Spirit lead the way through the week.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, so
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, you guys.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, family.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, Carla.
Bye.
Hey, bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, Corinne.
Bye-bye.